Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contentious.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I am your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. I want to go ahead and thank you all so very much for tuning in with us this evening. We've got a great show planned for you. Our original guest that was going to be featured this evening, Ms. Rachel, may be joining us either late on the air or we will have to reschedule her. I understand that she's working now, so we may, you know, it was unexpectedly, and so we may have to get her to tune in at another time. So we've got a great show planned for you tonight, and I'm certainly looking forward to that. We're going to take a 10-second silent meditation because we're testing something. Okay, all right, we just passed our test. Thank you for your patience and allowing us to run a systems check. All right, you're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you. We've got a fantastic show for you tonight, and we're certainly hoping that a lot of you all will comment on tonight's broadcast. Tonight's topic is how to treat your wife. I know the ladies will love to hear this one. How to treat your wife. So you will definitely want to tune in to this one, and we're going to get right to it. We're going to read the nice story, but just before I do that, I want to revisit one of the other shows that we've had, well, several of the other shows, and one of those have been, should dating come with an expiration date? And we also asked the question, should marriage come with an expiration date? We have sent so many topics out there. We have done over 1,000 shows. So I am confident, I am certain that there is a show out there that would be of your interest. And all you got to do is go to the archives and pull up one of our shows and tune in. All right, let's get ready for tonight's story. And again, just before I do that, let me bring up another one of our topics. That topic has been, should parents allow their children to dictate their new relationships? Should parents allow their children to dictate their new relationships? That's a show that you definitely want to go in and listen to. And, of course, if you have a topic in mind, we will be more than happy. When I tell you more than happy, to consider putting that over the airwaves for you. All right, let's go to our characters tonight, Eddie and Francis. Eddie and Francis, after dating for nearly 2 years, Eddie and Francis decided it was time to move to the next level. They decided to get married. They had a lovely marriage that was well attended by numerous family on both sides, friends, coworkers, and, of course, even their college buddies from Francis' side and from Eddie's side. Unfortunately, after only 8 months of marriage, Eddie and Francis are no longer certain if their marriage is going to work out. There's no doubt the couple love each other. There's no doubt about that. But one of the major concerns in the marriage is that Francis feels that Eddie has changed significantly towards how he treats her. Now, some of her concerns include, and these are some of them only, and it's not listing all of them. She feels that Eddie used to date her on a regular basis prior to getting married. Now he has not taken her out for the past 6 months. They've only been married 8 months, and for the past 6 months, he hasn't even taken her anywhere. And when she asks him about it, he says he doesn't like crowds. He doesn't like to go out around crowds of people. But you know what? There are other places you can go that doesn't have always the crowds or other times. Anyway, here's some of the other things. He does not talk to her in a respectful way. Instead, he talks to her rather hard, as though he was talking to a man. Eddie has not expressed his love for her in the past 4 months, saying that he told her he married her 7 months ago. I mean, he told her that he loved her 7 months ago, and he feels that, you know, you don't have to constantly tell someone you love them all the time. He has not bought her flowers since their honeymoon. He didn't buy her flowers for the past, that means in the last 7.5, perhaps, weeks, he hasn't bought her, 7.5 months, he hasn't bought her one flower. He is seldom home and always out with his friends, especially on weekends, and claims they're just playing cards or hanging out or playing pool or card games. Eddie has completely changed because he also stays out very late and does not want to be questioned as to where he's been. Now, it's evident that he's not involved with anybody else. He's not cheating, but he's just, perhaps he's unhappy. Francis, on the other hand, has shown him a lot of love, but can't seem to take it anymore. The first question that I start out with tonight is any of this Francis' fault? Is any of this possibly Francis' fault? All right, we're going to go to the phone line. If you have a comment that you want to answer or address that question, then you will want to press 1 on your dial at this time, and we will be more than happy to entertain your thought or your comment. Is this Francis' fault? Well, you know what? I'm going to give my 2 cents, and I'm going to simply say that I doubt very seriously if this is all Francis' fault. It could be that Francis may have contributed somewhat to this, but I doubt very seriously it's all her fault. We welcome your comments also that you may send into the studio. We will be more than happy to entertain those. And we'll reiterate the story throughout this evening. We will reiterate the story throughout the evening for those of you all that will be joining us rather late. So we look forward to that as well. You know, when it comes to relationships and the dynamics of relationships, I strongly believe that it's never only one person's fault. And by that I mean, in this case, Francis and Eddie, even though Francis appears to be treating him with a great deal of love, it's not all Eddie's fault. Perhaps in some way or another, Francis also may have contributed to this. Well, you say, well, how does she contribute to this? Francis may have picked the wrong guy to marry from the beginning. So her bad decision could have been a contribution to what she's now, the residuals of what she's experiencing. So that right there is one thing. Now, it could also be that, I mean, the particulars are not all there. It could also mean that she's not giving him the support and certain things that he may intrinsically require or need. You know, she may just be only looking out for herself, you know, in terms of something. She may only be looking out for herself. She may only be looking out for herself and not thinking about his needs. Well, facts don't indicate that either. But just based on, we're going to deal basically or primarily on how he is treating her right now and go based on what her registration of complaints are about how he's treating her. And it sounds as if she could probably cope with some things if he treated her differently than the way he's treating her now. So we want to hear from you tonight. And again, our topic this evening is how to treat your wife. You know, and the question is that we start out with tonight, and we have a series of questions. Is this all, you know, Francis' fault? Or is any of it her fault? And so we'd love to hear from you. And my thought is, you know what? She may have contributed to it, even in a bad decision. And there are those of you all that may completely disagree, and we welcome that. If you're married and your spouse is treating you like a flower, you know, we want to hear your comments as well. Just simply press one on your dial and let us know and give us some tips on how maybe a man should treat his wife or be treating his wife. Because a lot of times, you know, the question becomes, has anyone been taught how to treat their significant other? That's interesting. So we need that as well. All right, so my thought is there is no directions or instructions that may have come to anyone on how to treat your significant other. So how would they know? How is it expected that someone would know if they're treating their significant other in the right way? If, for example, haven't been taught to. All right, let's go to the phone lines. We're going to go to our first call this evening. We're going to go to 305-509. Welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. You're on the air live. Who do we have with us?
Yes, hello. This is Marcia Mieres-Bernard.
Okay, Marcia, thank you for joining us. Marcia, tell me, do you think that this is Frances' fault, that her husband is treating her poorly?
I think there are a lot of unanswered questions about Frances' side of the story. What did Frances do in terms of her vetting of a husband? Did she actually find out about his history, his family, his upbringing? Did she see these habits or know these habits prior to their marriage and think they would change? Did she overlook these habits prior to? So there are a lot of loose ends concerning whether or not this was behavior that was alluded to or that was highlighted prior to the marriage that she just chose to ignore because perhaps she wanted to get married.
You know what, Marcia, I think that that's a very interesting and valid point that you're making here, because even though the facts do not indicate that, but these are certainly, you have put out something out there that every woman needs to pay particular close attention to, are those warning signs that you see. And if you heard me earlier, you may recognize that part of what I was saying was that Frances may have, in fact, contributed to this. Frances may have contributed to this simply by making a bad decision of not addressing those very issues that you mentioned. Marcia, we're going to ask you to stand by. We're going to take another call. We're going to go to 954-226. You're on the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, and you're live. Who do we have with us?
Hi, Dr. Walker. This is Rose.
Rose, thanks for joining us this evening. Rose, give us your thought. I mean, could this be all Frances' fault or just part of Frances' fault?
Well, from what I heard on the story, I do not see anything that indicated that it was Frances' fault. But, of course, there are a lot of information that's missing. So it's really hard to say what she contributed, if anything, to his behavior. Now, I'm going to blame a lot of this on him because even if he is missing something from his wife, I think his duty is to sit down with her and let her know what it is that he's missing, what it is that she's doing that he does not appreciate, what it is that he needs. Now, I'm not sure if he did all of that and then she ignored that because the story didn't tell us, did not go in depth with all of that. I'm going to assume that he did not do that as yet, since it seemed like Frances is surprised at his behavior. Now, I think they, of course, they both need to go through counseling because there's no way a marriage can survive in this state if he's going to continue with this behavior. And it bothers her. So I think they need to seek counseling for sure. But as the caller before said, did Frances see these red flags prior to getting married? did he display this type of behavior? And she totally ignored it because she wanted to get married. See, we don't know all of those answers, and so it's very difficult to say whose fault it really is or if she had prior knowledge of this before the wedding, you know. So that's my take on it.
You know, Rose, and that's a very valid point. We're going to go to phone lines in just a moment. We're going to ask you all to be patient. And, of course, and Nicole and Marcia said earlier, you know, alluded to some of the thoughts that you have now presented. And I would also say that I can almost assure you, in every relationship, prior to saying I do, I can almost assure you that there were warning signs. The ones that seemed to turn out where it's not working out the way that an individual anticipate that it would have, I can almost assure you that there were warning signs that were clearly ignored. And I don't think that the relationship, that the marriage that Eddie and Francis have is no exception. We're going to ask you to stand by, Rose and Marcia. We're going to go to phone lines. Once again, we're going to go to 256-970. Welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. You're live.
Hello?
Yes, you're live on the air. Who do we have with us this evening? And welcome.
This is Sylvie from Huntsville.
Sylvie from Huntsville, thank you for joining us. Sylvie, give us your take on this. I mean, you know, here's a couple that dated for more than a year, nearly 2 years, in fact, and all of a sudden now, Francis now sees a complete change in Eddie. And it wasn't something that she claimed, you know, was, I guess she just ignored, or as Marcia and Rose said earlier, perhaps she ignored some of the warning signs, and now she's getting the residuals of that. What's your take on this? Can it be fixed?
Well, it could be fixed, but the problem is, like the previous caller that just came off, she started to hint on it, but she didn't really go into depth with what she was saying. The problem is that some couples, they believe that they don't have to speak. The other person in the relationship could read their minds and know what is happening without them communicating it. So what I see is a lack of communication. Did Francis ever sit with her fiance, or was it her husband? I'm not sure.
It's her husband now. It's her husband now. Uh-huh.
Did she ever sit with him and have a conversation and tell him how she feels and what she observed and try to get to the bottom of it for him to open up and say, well, you know, maybe he might say, you know, I never observed that. I wasn't thinking of it that way or whatever. So I think they need to communicate. That's the first step. She needs to tell him exactly what she observed and how she feels about what she observed in the relationship, and take it from there. That's
right. You know,
a whole lot of problem instead of assuming the other person knows what's in your mind, which they can't.
I think that that's also, Sylvie, a very valid point, and I agree with you wholeheartedly. You know, you can never assume what's in somebody else's mind, what they're thinking, and how they may be feeling, unless, you know, you ask them the question of what's going on. And so I think Rose did earlier on the air, Rose was presenting it where she mentioned that the facts didn't indicate. But could Rose have been doing something to – I mean, could Francis have been doing something that may have contributed to this? Or just like Marcia said, there was certain information in here that was not presented. But she needs to ask herself these questions, you know, what am I doing that could have caused this? But let's say that she did have a conversation with him. And Sylvia, I want you to stay with me just for a second. Let's assume that she did have a conversation with him about how he's treating her. But now, does that warrant him displaying such behavior as the following? I mean, does that, you know, he used to date her on a regular basis prior to getting married, and now she said to him, you know, ask him about that, and he said he doesn't like clouds. So how could that have been something that she ignored at one point in time?
Well, she could not have ignored it because he never presented it to her before that he didn't like crows. He pretended all along that everything was fine, so she couldn't know that. So it's only through communication now they find that out. But if that's the case, she has to let him know, well, you don't like crows, but we don't have to do it every week or every month or what, but ever so often, it would be nice for you to do it. So even put your feelings aside that you don't like crowd and just to please me or to work on this situation, let's just try to do it every few months, every 2 months, every 3 months, once in every 2 months, once every 3 months, but not just not to do it at all.
So they could go out. So you're saying, Sylvia, if I hear you correctly, you're saying that effective communication could be what might be missing with this couple. And in, as such, that might be one way to begin the road to healing the relationship. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, because he was deceptive with her. He never told her before he didn't like crowds.
Right.
So she could make a decision before she got married. If he had come openly and tell her what is what, but he did not. He deceived her. So now he has to work on it. And
right.
he has to meet her halfway on this.
Right. You know, it's interesting that you say that he didn't tell her. But, Sylvie, let me ask you this question, because this is something that we often talk about on the air, and that is, will people ever really be honest in the initial stages of dating? When an individual wants someone, they want to be with that person, wouldn't you agree that they put forth their best foot, they put forth their best efforts, and they put on their greatest personality to be won over by the person until they get to where they want to be with that person? So honesty, is it prevalent when people first meet?
People do that, but that's not being honest with each other at all, and that doesn't show love at all. Because if you love someone, you want to love that person for who they are. And if that person loves you, they need to love you for who you are. So the dating period of time is where you bring yourself out, you open yourself to that person, that other person opens themselves out to you, and see where you all can meet halfway, or if it's not going to be, it's not going to be, you move on. But you can't deceive people into loving you. They're not really loving you, they're loving something else or somebody else that they thought was you, but that's not you.
That's an interesting take on it. Go ahead, Sylvie.
I think that is not reality.
I agree.
So
I certainly agree. Go ahead.
He's very wrong for that. So now he has to fix it.
Okay. All right. We're going to come back and ask you just a moment how he might be able to fix that. All right. You're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. We're going to go to Marcia in just a moment. If you're just joining us, tonight's topic is how to treat your wife. Tonight's characters are Eddie and Francis. This is a couple that dated nearly 2 years, and then they decided to get married. Now, only 8 months into the marriage, Francis has determined that Eddie is not treating her with the respect and love that she felt she needs. And then some of the changes he's made is, he used to date her on a regular basis before they got married, and now he's not taking her out. He hasn't taken her out in the past 6 months, and when she asked him about it, he's saying that he doesn't like crowds. You know, he has not expressed his love for her in the past 4 months. He told her that, you know what, I told you I loved you several months ago, and he doesn't believe that a person has to constantly say, I love you. He has not expressed his love, and not only that, he has not bought her flowers since their honeymoon nearly 8 months ago. He's hardly at home. He He hangs out more with his friends, especially on the weekends. And when she questions him about it, he doesn't like to be questioned. And he says that, you know, they're just playing card games or just playing pool. Evidence shows that he's not cheating on her, but he just likes being with his friends, which was something that obviously she didn't see prior to their getting married. He's completely changed on this woman. And it's only been 8 months. Can you imagine a year and a half later? And we have joining us as we have Marcia, Sylvie, and we also have Rose. And let's go to Marcia. Let's go back to Marcia now and ask her the question. And Marcia, the question becomes, looks like we may have lost Marcia. Let's go to Rose and ask Rose this question. Rose, the question is, how could she not have seen some of this coming? I mean, and even if it is what it is at this point, even if it is what it is, then what could she do? What should she do? Should she stay in there and hang in there? Or like Sylvie said, go get counseling? What should she do? I mean, how much can anybody take?
Well, I don't know how she didn't see it coming, but obviously he might have been very good at hiding certain things from her. Now, apparently he used to date her often while they were going, you know, before they got married. So, therefore, she could not have seen that part of it because he took her out very often. So, therefore, she didn't know that once they get married, he would have stopped. You know, that's something that she could not have seen. Now that he is saying this, that he doesn't like crowd, they don't have to always go where it's crowded. He can date her. He can take her out without having to take her into the crowd. You know, there are lots of things they can do without having to go into a crowd. So I think he's just not fully grown because the fact that he just want to hang out with his friends, playing games, he is not an adult yet, it seems. He's still growing up, and he needs to get his priorities straight. So I don't know. He's going to have to change something in order for this to work. And, of course, I suggested earlier that they definitely need counseling. They need to go and get counseling to figure this out because, obviously, just by themselves, it's not going to work.
All right, we're going to be rejoined by Marcia in just a moment, but let's go to another phone line right now. We're going to go to 305-733. Thank you. You're live on the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. We're at 305-733. You're live. Who do we have with us?
Dr. Walker, this is Stephanie. How are you?
Stephanie, we're doing great. Stephanie, just tell us, I mean, should Francis really hang in here with this guy? I know Rose is saying get some counseling, you know, find some help, some therapy. But this guy, I mean, I'm just of the opinion, and I know many of you all oftentimes will agree some and some will not agree, but I'm just registering my opinion just as all of us are here doing this evening. Should she hang in there with this guy? And I say, you know what? People are who they are, and they pretend when they come at you, and she had to see some of this stuff. And I say it's time for her to have the serious talk, and Rose, I agree, go get some therapy, get a couple of sessions, and then if this guy doesn't decide to make an effort to change, then I think she needs to make an effort to change. Give me your thoughts, Stephanie.
I kind of agree with both of you, actually. I don't really think she needs to give up, but I do think she needs to address the issue right away before it gets worse. I mean, because no wife wants to be neglected. No wife wants to feel like they're being mistreated in a relationship, especially that's a new relationship, kind of.
Uh-huh.
They've only been married for a short period of time. Well, they dated, but they've only been married for a short period of time. So I really think they need to address the issue right away and don't let it linger, because longer and longer it happens, then Rose is going to get frustrated, and then she may go out and start cheating.
Francis,
so,
you mean?
I'm sorry, not you. Yeah, Rose,
Francis.
But Francis.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that that's where it's going to head if they don't get counseling.
Excellent. And you know, I'm prone to believe that as time progresses. But see, the thing is, people are quite pretentious. They will pretend, and he's probably no different. It is no different. He can pretend, you know, when there's a threat or the fear of losing someone. Then people turn around, and in some cases, they start to pretend like they're going to make this change until they reach comfort zone or that comfort level again, where they say, well, you know what, I've got him now, where, you know, they feel comfortable and relaxed, and then you begin to take them for granted again. Stephanie, we're going to ask you to stand by. Let's go to, we're going to go to 7, Marcia, we're going to come back to you in just a second. Let's go to 786-554. You're live on the Dr. Jesse Walk Show. Welcome, and who do we have?
Hi, this is Al from Atlanta.
Al from Atlanta. Thank you for joining us, Al. Al, bring us that male perspective. What do you think? I mean, how does a man supposed to treat his wife?
Well, with love, respect, and giving her everything she wants.
Wow.
I need to be married.
Happy
wife.
Okay, Al, did I hear you right? Remember, this show is heard all over the world. And you're probably going to blow up, it's going to blow up my studio this evening, because you're saying love and respect, and I can get that part. But to give her everything she wants, Al?
Within reason.
No,
okay.
You said it first.
You
said it right the first time.
Okay, that sounds like Stephanie. What was right about what he said the first time? What was right about that?
Hey, said give her everything she wants. If my husband offered me everything I want, then guess what? I don't think I'd ever complain. I don't need counseling.
I need you know what, Stephanie, not knowing you, not knowing your personality, but I would probably venture to say anyone, whether it's a man or a woman, they got absolutely every single thing they want. Picture children now, those that get everything. Don't they sometimes end up being those spoiled, rotten brats?
Yes, yes, yes. That's true.
So
that's how I want to be.
That's how you wanted to be. Okay.
Yeah,
all right. We're going to go. We're gonna ask you to stand by just a second. Let's go back to Marcia and bring her back in here. Marcia, assuming that you're married and so forth, would you want your husband to give you every single thing that you want, as Al has presented, Al from Atlanta has indicated?
Happy wife, happy life. Strive for perfection.
Happy wife. Wow. But would that really make her happy, or would she be like, flowers again? Okay, he just bought me flowers 2 days ago, but that was what you wanted. And now all it is a boasting tool to tell your girlfriends, oh, my husband buys me flowers. And how many of those girls are going to be envying you, Marcia? Come on, let's keep it real.
As a woman who gets flowers regularly without an occasion, happy life, happy life. Strive for perfection.
Yep. All right, stand by, Marcia. We're going to go to phone lines once again. We're going to go to 614-313. Who do we have up there, and welcome?
Hi, Dr. Walker. This is Audrey B. Audrey Blake. How are you?
Audrey Blake. Very well. Audrey has been my co-host for a number of years, and she really keeps it real. Come on, a happy wife, a happy life. But come on now. This goes twofold. Help us out here, Audrey B.
Well, you know, true to form, I believe that's not a bad thing. Because the gentleman who said that, I think it's Al from the ATL,
yes.
He has a great point. Because if you're married, you've taken vows to this person. So you vow to share life and protect her and love her. And if she wants something, as long as it's not going to harm her and it's not illegal, yes, and it's within your means, give it to her. And please don't be cheap.
Okay. Let's go back. You know what? I got to get somebody on here. We're going to go back to, let's go back to Sylvie just a second. Sylvie, let me ask you. I mean, here it is, Freddie and Francis. What Francis is wanting for us, with Freddie and Francis, it does not appear. We got some, apparently we got, you might be listening on the internet as well. We need to break away from that area. And Sylvie, the question becomes to you, and that is, if a man gives a woman everything that she wants, and even as Al from the ATL said, within reason, would that truly make a woman happy? I don't think so, but I'm not a woman. Let me just ask you what your thoughts are. It seems to be the consensus of the woman that it would be.
Well, I don't think anybody can give anybody everything that they want.
Okay.
I don't think so.
All right.
I think for the most part you can, but not everything. I don't see how that could be, because I don't know what to say about that. I really don't see it. I don't see somebody getting everything that they want. There has to be a happy medium. He's
right.
Going out with his phone. He's going out with his phone often. What he needs to do is take some of that time and take her out. She's not stopping him from going out with his friends. We didn't hear that in the story, that she
right.
doesn't want him to go out with his friends. She just
right.
wants him to give her some of his time also. So
right.
he has to be what is it called? Flexible. He has to be intelligent. He has to be smart. He has to know how to please his wife, because his wife comes before his friends anyway.
Okay.
So the wife comes first. Do what she wants you to do as far as you can, right? And
right.
I think she will have understanding to know, well, he's trying his best. He's doing his best. Nobody wants from you more than your best. And if there are some times that he needs to go out with his friends, I think she will, since he takes her out every now and then, I think she wouldn't mind. She wouldn't mind that. So I think that's making her happy, that she's getting at least part of you, the greatest part of you. His friends should be getting the greatest part. She should be getting the greatest part. But he also needs to socialize with his friends also, which will even in turn help to enhance their relationship.
Right, right. I certainly agree with that. We're going to ask you to stand by, Hillary. We are running out of time. We're about 22 minutes away from closing the show tonight. It goes real fast. We've got a number of comments that have come into the studio. You listen live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, 347-857-1769. You can also listen to this show in its entirety immediately after the archives. At drjessewalker.com or drjessewalkerinc.com. We're going to go now to Rose and ask Rose this question, and that is, I mean, how realistic is it? How realistic is it for a woman to really be happy in getting every single thing that she wants? How realistic is that, Rose, in your opinion?
Well, you know what? She might not get everything she wants, but it won't hurt for him to try. You know, I think he needs to try, and as long as he can, he gives her as much of what she wants as he can afford to do. You know, he might not get everything. He might not be able to give her everything, but hey, if he tries, she will appreciate that. So he
okay.
needs to try.
All right, I want to speak to someone. We're going to take some of the comments, and let me just go to Audrey B. here and ask her this question, and then Stephanie's going to come back to you, Marcia, as well. We're going to ask you to stand by just for a second, and Al from the ATL, we're going to come back to you as well since you opened up this can of worms. And that is, let me go to Audrey Blake right now and ask, I mean, what about you into mental health, and what about when you give children all that they want? And I know we're talking about adults, so it's a different level. But, I mean, me being in psychology and so forth and so on, and we're both like coaches, I completely see it differently when somebody is getting everything that they want. It only seems that those things after a while, because it's things or if it's intrinsic things, that to me makes a difference. But if it's external things, then I don't see them ever being fully pleased, because external things can go on and on. Ms. Blake, give me your thought on that. What do you think?
Well, there's a difference between children and adults, and I agree with you.
Right.
You never want to give your children everything, because then they grow up with a sense of entitlement. You are shaping
right.
the world for your children. But when you're dealing with adults, they should know what they want. So when they ask for something, it's probably important to them. So
uh-huh.
that's something to keep in mind. Now, and
right.
I want to speak quickly to happiness. You know, those things are not going to make them happy. they're gestures that can bring some happiness, but they've got to have that happiness within. They have to, that no one else can really make you happy.
Uh-huh. Right. So let me ask that based on what you're just saying here. If you think about it, you know, give, and Al from ATL said, you know, give them everything within reason. And
mm-hmm.
now my question becomes, all right, you're out here and you're working as hard as you can. You're working two jobs already. And the woman, she wants these handbags. And the bags, I mean, you're only making a certain amount of money, even on both jobs combined. That's bringing you about $35,000. And you're trying to live up to her expectations, all right? She's come on board and saying, I'm used to this kind of lifestyle, but she picked you, that the man who can't really keep up with that. He's already doing two jobs. He's tired. He's snoring at night, and she can't even be in the room with him because he snores heavily. And so now she's saying, well, my girlfriend on the job, my coworker just got a brand new Lexus, you know, SUV. And so now she says, sweetie pie, honey bun, can you, you know, can we make the sacrifice? I'm tired of driving. She's driving a 2014 for the last 2 years, and now she wants that SUV Lexus or above. Come on now, how realistic? I mean, this man's already breaking his back. Should that be an expectation, or is it unreasonable, Audrey B? And then, Stephanie,
no,
the same question is going to come to you in a moment.
That is an unrealistic expectation. And if I were her husband, I'd say, well, baby girl, you sound like you need a second job.
Okay. All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. Al from ATL, we're going to come back to you and speak to the issue of you're saying that's unreasonable. Stephanie, how unreasonable is that? Let's go to you now. Tell me what your thoughts are.
No, I'm just
come on, give it to her for real. Give it to her for real.
I'm telling you, I'm still shocked. I'm still stuck on the fact that ATL, Al from ATL, says give the woman everything she wants, everything she asks for. So I'm really, really passionate with that. But at the same time, I kind of agree that's a little bit unrealistic. That's not going to make the relationship better just because you give them everything they want. I just think that a relationship has to, they're compromising. It has to be a lot of conversation. And, again, I go back to the part where I said I think that they need counseling so that they can figure out what is really going on in that relationship and why is that young man – why is the man acting that way all of a sudden? So that's just my take.
But, see, here again now, and now we're going to bring in just a second, and now here it is again with those external things. Now she was accustomed to your doing all of these things for her, and now the bar has been raised to a level where she wants to match her girlfriend on a job. Her car is a 2014. We're just about to come out of 2016. She probably doesn't even have 20,000 miles on the car, but now, you know, in two more years, she's going to want that Jaguar or that Mercedes-Benz or that Infiniti SUV. So now, because she may not be, and after the ATL, we're going to ask you to speak to this, because now you were giving her all of these things in the past, and now it's got you a second job, which you might need a third job, but guess what happened? Now, because she can't match her girlfriend, whom she told, I have the greatest husband on earth, and now she says, watch, next month I'm going to be driving me a silver one with cream interior and so forth and so on, and now all of a sudden she can't live up to that because now he's hurt her feelings. Her balloon has been deflated. Sylvie, we're going to come to you in a moment also. So, Al, to the ATL, speak to that, please.
So she needs to find a new set of friends and a new set of coworkers because their last name is the Joneses, and we can't keep up with them.
You know what? But, Al, you said earlier at the ATL, so are you saying that this might be one of those unreasonable expectations?
This is an unreasonable expectation. So when giving gifts or even love, feelings, giving her everything she wants within reason, it's all about compromise. And it's also about knowing your spouse before you get married so that
right.
you all are on the same wavelength, you know, that you have the same wants and desires. So if she wants a 2014 if she's driving a 2014, yeah, I'll get her a 2016. It'll be one of these little Hot Wheel cars, though, and that's about it. But it won't be after 2 years getting a brand new one.
Okay. Okay. All right. Now, let me go back. Sylvia, let me go to you, and we're going to ask everybody to keep your comments really brief because we've got to take some of the comments that have come into the studio. So, Sylvia, let me go to you now. We went from hearing Al and from the ATL comment that you should give her everything that she wants, but then when I raised some issues about that, that caused perhaps some eyebrows to be raised, then Al says within reason. Now, let's go back to this circumstance. So could Frances be having unreasonable expectations? Or I'm thinking that it's a facade when you're giving somebody everything that they want. Sylvie, that question's for you.
Yeah, I think she's unreasonable. And I think if she wants to keep up with the Joneses, regardless of how many jobs she has to do to provide those things for her, she doesn't love that man. Mm-hmm. She just needs a sugar daddy. That's what she has, not a husband. Because she's very unrealistic. He needs to put her out the door.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. That is quite interesting, Sylvie. That is quite interesting. Let's go to Marcia. Then we're going to go back to Stephanie, just say, I got to take some of these comments. They're threatening me to take some of these comments. Let's go to Marcia. Marcia, should he put her out the door as Sylvie has said? What are your thoughts?
There needs to be reciprocity in a relationship. If there's no reciprocity, the relationship is dead. As much as the husband should be striving to please his wife and striving to provide those things that not only she needs but she wants, the wife should also be doing the same for her husband. If there is no reciprocity, this relationship cannot last. And therefore, in terms of the 2014 upgrade to the 2017, the priorities are a bit mixed and skewed. This is not a wise woman, and he probably should have figured this out before he married her.
Okay. That is absolutely brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. We got to take some of the comments that have come in, and we're going to ask each one of you all because we're winding down. We've got 12 minutes, and they're threatening me here. All right, here we go with the first comment that comes in from this male. He writes in, he says, when it comes to tonight's topic, how should men treat a woman? With respect to the last comment that was made, he says, I believe that giving the wife everything she wants comes with compromise and time, and that she may want something externally, but not at every beck and call or on every request. Let me ask Stephanie to address that one. Stephanie, do you think that this guy is on point? Not at every beck and call, and it comes with compromise, and that's what I've heard you all say tonight?
Yeah, I think it does come with compromise. It can't be at every beck and call. I'm sorry. It's not going to happen that way. And I agree with the young lady earlier that said, you know, you just can't – you're just not going to be able to make the relationship work when you're just giving the woman whatever it is that she wants. I just don't agree with that. I mean, I think it's a two-way street, and I just think a wife needs to be just that giving to her husband if she's expecting all those things herself.
On that note, we're going to ask you to stand by a reminder. If we can confine our comments to 15 seconds or less, so we can try to get in as many comments as we possibly can. Another comment comes in. We're going to give this one to Rose. Rose is female, writes in. She says, how to treat your wife. If only men really knew how to treat their wives, or their girlfriend for that matter, I think perhaps their parents could be the blame for not teaching them. If we blame the parents, then what keeps the parents from blaming their parents? So, Rose, it sounds like here it sounds like a perpetual thing. All right, if the man doesn't know how to treat her because the parents didn't tell him how to treat a wife, you know, when he eventually gets one, then is it anybody's fault?
Well, you know what? I can't actually blame the parents because a grown man knows right from wrong, and he knows how to treat his wife. Okay?
Really.
And furthermore, that wife needs to let the husband know what she expects, you know, just like the husband needs to let the wife know his likes and dislikes. And I think once you communicate with each other, it doesn't matter that your parents didn't teach you this. It's both of you now together, and you're letting each other know what you like and what you do not like and how you would like to be treated and the things that you do not like. And so you take it from there. It's now the two of you, the husband and the wife. The parents are out of this now.
Okay. Well, Rose, based on that, let me just ask you this quick question. I know we got to move on fast here. But now, okay, there were no instructions that came along all of a sudden. Now two people are living together, and you will never – would you agree, first of all, that you never know a person until you live with them? Would you agree to that?
Yes, I agree with that.
Okay, so having been in agreement with that, now all of a sudden they're finding likes and dislikes. And now the question becomes, because you're having these, now, you know, you're sitting down talking to somebody who, let's assume for they're 40 years of age or older, and they've been a certain way for 40-plus years. Is there a likelihood that they're prone to change overnight? And then, Sylvia, we're going to ask you that same question, and just briefly, if you would, Rose.
Well, you see, compromise is very important when you're talking about a marriage, because no two persons are going to be alike, and no one is going to do exactly what you want them to do every second of the day. There are going to be things about that person you don't like, but you have to compromise. You have to weigh what is more important to you and what is, you know, what can you negotiate on. So both of you have to compromise and meet each other partway, you know, for a marriage to work. No matter how good both of you are, there has to be some compromise, you know, for the marriage to work. And you have to constantly work on the marriage.
Wow, that in itself sounds tiring. Let me go on. Let me move on here. Sylvie, let me ask you the question. I mean, here it is. The same question to you. Sylvie, go ahead.
Hello?
The basic question is, Rose made a statement coming off the air. She says you got to constantly work on the marriage. And I alluded to say that in itself sounds, that conversation sounds like it's already tiring to say that. But my question, going back to what I presented to Rose, was basically, I mean, how realistic is it? How realistic? She was actually responding to one of the comments that came in, and I asked the question, how realistic is it, based on the comment, that if only men knew how to treat their wives or girlfriend, for that matter, then they can blame the parents for not having taught them? So, I mean, that goes on perpetually. The guy can say, well, my parents never taught me how to treat a wife, so why should I have to treat her any kind of way? We just live like animals. We just live like humans, as I think we should live. That's what he's saying. How important is that they blame the parents?
I think we need to stop blaming parents, because the world is not even the same as it was when our parents were young. Times change, things move on. These people who are grown now and married, I'm sure they went through school. They need to have the ability to think on their own, to see what their parents did was not exactly the right thing, and stop blaming your parents for your shortcomings.
Uh-huh.
I just read, said that the problem with some marriages is that the problem with human as a whole is that we want to love people with human love. But what we should love people with is God's love, which is love is patient, it's kind, it's long-suffering, it's not self-seeking, it doesn't behave itself unseemly. Let them go and read 1 Corinthians 13.
All right. So we're going to ask you to stand by. We're moving rather fast. We've only got about 5 minutes before we bring the show to close. Let me go to Audrey B. Audrey B. and ask her, do you agree that we should be loving people with a godly love? If that's the case, couldn't we just be married to anybody and just love them regardless of how they might treat us? Is that, you know, help me out there, Audrey B.
We do need to love with a godly love, but we also need to have boundaries. And one of the things as a life coach I talk about, we need to know what we will tolerate and what we will not tolerate.
Okay. All right. I think that that's an important move. Let me go up here now, and we're going to give this next comment to Marcia. We're going to bring this next comment in to Marcia, and then we're going to bring another one in to Stephanie. Marcia, this female writes in, she says, I'm confident that I have a very good man because one of the criteria I chose was to see how the father treated the mother, and it worked out for me. So the bottom line is my husband obviously learned from watching his father treat his mother with love and respect. How important is that, Marcia, that, you know, you watch, like you mentioned earlier, perhaps Francis did not see how, if there was a father around, or how Eddie may have interacted with his own mother, if that be the case. How important is it to observe family members when you're considering getting married to somebody, Marcia?
I believe it is important to observe family members when you are considering a spouse. However, some families have not had a beautiful relationship modeled for them. The individuals have grown up under difficult circumstances, but it's what you do with those difficult circumstances, and it's how you shape yourself and how you think about things and process things and how you operate in your adult life that is also important. Not everybody grows up with mother and father in the perfect Stepford home. However, for those individuals, they may look to other role models, be it, you know, in a church, a school, whether it's a coach or someone who has had an influential part to play in their lives. So they may have patterned after someone else who they felt was a positive role model. Some individuals may not have had that perfect role model, but they have learned some things by observing other couples and what works and does not work by looking at individuals going through their day-to-day lives. But it's the willingness to work on things and to improve and to grow that is important, and that's something that needs to be looked at as well.
All right. On that comment, we are closely, I mean, we got about 2 minutes and 30 seconds. We're going to bring this one now. This comment will go to Audrey B. Audrey B., this male writes in, he says, I think women make it all about themselves, which may cause a man to not want to treat them nicely, like back in the day when things were different. What do you say to that? You know, that women are contributing to a great deal of this. That's what it sounds like he's saying.
In some cases, that is accurate, because women are like, I got to have mine. And you can't go into a marriage or a relationship with that mindset. So there are some instances where he is correct.
All right, let me go now to Stephanie. Let me bring in Stephanie and ask you to respond to this comment. This male writes in, he says, if women treated men with more respect, then I think men would be willing to do a lot more in terms of treating them differently. Women today have placed such great demands on men as if they are the only ones entitled to good treatment. What do you say to that comment, Stephanie?
I kind of agree with that. I agree with that. I said earlier that I think women need to also, in a relationship, it has to be a two-way street. It can't be a one-way street. And I don't care how much you give that woman or how much you give that man, that other partner or spouse needs to reciprocate. So other than that, not going to work.
All right, Sylvie, let me address that same one to you. You agree to that, Stephanie, you're saying?
Yes, I do.
Okay, Sylvie, let me present that same one to you. He says basically that women need to equally treat men with respect as well, and then it would make a man want to treat them differently. Do you agree with that, Sylvie? Okay, perhaps we've lost Sylvie. Let's go to go to Rose. Rose, that same question to you. Rose, do you agree with that? Rose, do you agree with that?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
So it goes both ways. All right, this will be out. We have this final comment that we're coming in with, and then I want to wrap it up by just asking you all a 10-second question or less. And that is, we're going to have Audrey B. respond to this one here. This female writes in, she says, as a woman, I think we contribute at times to how we are treated by men because some women have not learned how to gently deal with men and their nature. So I think it could help if we check ourselves. Audrey B., is she anywhere close to being on point? She says, check ourselves.
She's right on point. I say to women all the time, I say, you've got to treat our men with respect. You've got to treat them like kings so that you can get treated like a queen.
All right. I think that that's an important point. Let me go to, let me just ask each one of you all just briefly here, and let's start with Stephanie. And Stephanie is, how should a husband treat his wife? Just give me one thought and 12 seconds or less. How should a husband treat his wife?
Like a queen.
Okay, all right, I like that. We're going to go to Sylvie now, and Sylvie asked that same question. How should a husband treat his wife?
Like she has first place in his life, but this goes both ways. The wife should also treat the husband like he has first place in her life also.
I like that. That's very good. Let's go to Rose. Rose, how should a husband treat his wife?
With love.
With love. Okay. We're going to go to Marcia. Marcia, how should a husband treat his wife?
With dignity, respect, honor, and love, without spot, wrinkle, or blemish.
That sounds like Christ.
Okay. And Christ loved the church.
Okay, Christ loved the church. Okay. Miss Blake, how possible is that? Well, Marcia just said for the without spot or blemish. I take that and interpret that to be that she doesn't have any flaws. And I'm not speaking for myself. But Ms. Blake, how realistic are that and is that? And then answer the question, how should a husband treat his wife?
Well, I guess he could strive for what Marcia said. It certainly is good to strive. He may not reach it, but he can strive. And
like
my
that.
Answer is, how should he treat his wife? Like a diamond. I often use the diamond because a diamond is very valuable. So, like, she's worth it.
Okay. And I will respond to that question as well. How should a husband treat his wife? Like a son would want someone to treat his mother. Like a son would want someone to treat his mother whom he loves dearly. And I think on that note, we're clearly out of time. I want to thank all of my callers tonight for joining in with us. It's been a great show. We thank you, and we're asking that you continue to follow us each and every week. Join us this Friday for your half-hour inspirational program. Of course, if you choose to bypass this Friday, we'll see you back here live next Tuesday, 7 o'clock. Until this Friday, until next Tuesday, I say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God.